So, thanks for the Bible reading, Sonia. This is, we've been looking at Luke's Gospel the last little while. We looked at it this morning. And we are now up to the part, finally, where Jesus gets born, which is pretty amazing. And we celebrate that, of course, tomorrow. But it took a whole lot of chapter one and a whole lot of announcements that Jesus was going to be born before he actually got born. I don't know if you noticed that. But here we are. He's been born. I'm just going to test this. Okay. That's it. Thank you. No, just jokes. Okay. So, settle. Now, one of the things I was thinking about, because I do a lot of thinking during the week, while I'm scrolling Facebook and other social media things, all sorts of things pop up, which are pretty interesting. But one of the things I was thinking about and challenged about was the question, what is this Christmas thing all about? What's it actually about? And there's actually a lot of debate around what Christmas is about. And if you come from a different culture, and some of you here this evening might have come from another country or another place where Christmas is not celebrated or is celebrated very differently. And so sometimes when you come to another place and you experience another culture and the way they do it, you go, ah, that's different. And you're not always sure why. So I thought it'd be good tonight, just for a moment, to think a little bit about what Christmas is all about. And one of the big debates about Christmas, I don't know if you've noticed, is Christmas movies. You haven't? Well, let me fill you in on it anyway. This time of year, there's a lot of Christmas movies. Has anybody watched a Christmas movie this year? Leave your hand up if you regretted watching it. Some people aren't sure. Yeah, there's the whole Christian movie genre thing. One of the big questions over Christmas movies is actually centered around one movie in particular. This is in Wikipedia, so it must be true. It says this, that one film that has become the flashpoint for is this a Christmas movie or not debates is the original Die Hard movie from 1988. Alongside argument lines that either view the Bruce Willis starring action film as a genuine Christmas movie intertwined with its action genre setting, or as a film that is simply set around that time of year. Can you see the problem? No, you can't. It's a Christmas movie. There's opinions here. See, it's Wikipedia says it's a flashpoint, and I just feel like it just went off just then. That's the most interaction I've had for 4 years. That was great. I had something come up, and you may not get this. I apologize if you don't get this. A lot of atheists would get this, maybe less Christians, but it's actually been settled, the whole thing. This came up on my Facebook feed this last week. The thing is that Die Hard wasn't a Christmas movie originally, but the script was changed by Constantine in 336 to align it with the Sol Invictus Festival. And somebody else has responded to that by saying it was declared a Christmas movie at the Council of Nicaea. I can't believe I have to get angry about this. So hopefully that's sorted it for you. And maybe that was completely irrelevant. But what I did do during the week was I Googled, what is the good news of Christmas? And the very first thing that came up came from a bunch of people called the Salvation Army. And this is what they said that the good news of Christmas was. They said, the good news of Christmas is that even when the world or our circumstances change, the message of Christmas is timeless. Because Christmas is about the birth of God's Son, Jesus. It's about how he came to give us love, hope, and joy. That message doesn't change from year to year. When there is so much bad news and devastation in the world, this is good news we're celebrating. Did you notice the three things that they talked about? The Salvation Army? And I think the Salvation Army seemed to have a fair bit of integrity. But they said that there were three things in particular, love, hope, and joy. Love, hope, and joy. We were thinking a bit about that during the puppet show as well. The Bible reading that Sonia read in verses 6 and 7 of that says this about Jesus being born. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son, that was Jesus. And she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so we have this picture in Luke's Gospel of this really simple little birth. If you've read all of chapter 1, you would have noticed that the angel Gabriel was wandering around telling people about what was going to happen. And there was a lot of hoo-ha about Jesus being born. And then suddenly it happens and it's all pretty quiet. It's just this simple thing that happens. But the reality is that it's something that brings love, hope, and joy. Jesus, this baby that is born, is actually going to change the world through his life that he lives and the death that he dies. There's a symbol that is a helpful symbol for Jesus, and you're probably thinking, it's the cross that he died on. But there's another symbol that's often used to reference who Jesus is in our lives. If we understand who he is and what he's done, and the love and the hope and the joy that he brings, he becomes an anchor for us, for our souls. He's become the anchor for millions of people who have believed in him and followed him. So just for a moment, why is he an anchor? I think he reflects God's love, God's unconditional love. That's one of the reasons he's an anchor, because God's love doesn't change because we've been good or bad or anything like that. God's love is unconditional, and Jesus represents that. And that anchors us to know that even if our performance on any given day is not good, in fact, even if it's really bad, that God's love hasn't changed. The second thing is that he brings hope that the future is okay, that there is a good future. And sometimes in life, especially in the world at the moment, I think we can lose sight of that, can't we? That there's some good that's going to happen in the future. Well, Jesus represents that there is good in the future, that the future is actually taken care of by him. And then the third one is joy. So there's love, there's hope, and there's joy. He brings the joy that comes from love and hope. Love and hope are two things. If you have those in your life, then they usually spill out in the shape and form of joy. And so there's this idea that Jesus is an anchor. So this baby that was born maybe doesn't seem like a lot, but who he would be and what he would do, indeed who he is going to change the world. One of the things that Jesus said is in Matthew's Gospel. It's one of my favorite quotes from Jesus. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." There's that idea that he is a safe place. He's an anchor. Now, if you were here this morning, and indeed if you are here tomorrow morning, then you would know that I have a friend. There's more to the story than that. I have a friend who collects snow globes. I'm in the habit of calling them snow cones. I'm sorry. So if I do that, I apologize. But I mentioned this morning that I have a friend who collects snow globes. Is this the snow globe I had this morning, anybody? No, it's a different one. The other one, it had three wise men and a camel in it, a stinky camel. You couldn't smell it, but this one has a nativity scene. This has Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And one of the things I mentioned this morning was that with snow globes, they're quite helpful to think about at Christmas time, because Christmas time gets busy, yeah? Have you noticed? Has Dad been crusty and Mum been in a flap? But with the busyness of Christmas, like a snow globe which gets... This one's actually... Can you see that? With Christmas, that can be what the inside of our head looks like, or the inside of our heart. Just really flat out, busy, cloudy, hard to see, not all that clear. But the great thing about a snow globe is that if you put it down, and I was practiced this during the week because I wanted to see how helpful it was. It's just awesome watching them as they're set still for a little while, just start to settle and settle and settle. And so I want to encourage you this Christmas to think about Jesus as an anchor, but to take some time to be still, to let things settle from the busyness of the lead up of Christmas, so that you can see more clearly maybe what it is that you are grateful for. So you can think about the love and the hope and the joy that comes from that. Well, when I'm up here, I have my guitar. I usually sing a Colin song. And I'm going to sing a Colin song, but it's not one of his kids' songs. It's actually an adult one. So it didn't do very well. Okay, I did all right. Anyway, but I'm going to sing it. So Jason's going to take over and the words are going to come up. But it's called Real Hope. And it's about Christmas. And it just helps us. And maybe you can sit there and you can close your eyes if you like. And just for a moment, take some time to be still, to let the snow settle. It was a real birth in a real stable, in a real dusty Judean town, and a real mother nursed her precious baby, and a bunch of wide-eyed shepherds gathered round. And real angels sing glory, and real hope was born that day, and I bet all I have on Jesus, and I will throw myself on him, the one who died a real death for real sin. And I bet all I have on Jesus, and throughout eternity, and I will marvel at the real hope that my Savior won for me. Was a real life, he had a real friend. He walked shoulder to shoulder with the lost, and he wept a real tears for the fallen ones, and he anguished over sin's dreadful cost. And on a real cross he cried, "Forgive them," as his real life drained away. And I bet all I have on Jesus, I will throw myself on him, for the one who died a real death for real sin. And I bet all I have on Jesus, and throughout eternity, and I will marvel at the real hope that my Savior won for me. I have a real fear, and I do real sin, and I hurt the ones that I cherish and adore. And the real mercy of the one true God sees the filthy fallen purchased and restored. And I cry, my God, fulfill me with a heart completely yours. I bet all I have on Jesus, and I will throw myself on him, for the one who died a real death for real sin. And I bet all I have on Jesus, and throughout eternity, I will marvel at the real hope that my Savior won. And I will marvel at the real hope that my Savior won. And I will marvel at the real hope that my Savior won for me. We're going to have a time of prayer. And encourage you to keep your eyes closed if you'd like. I just want to thank Jesus for the love and the hope and the joy that he brings. So let's pray. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for love and hope and joy this Christmas. I do just want to recognize that some of us here tonight may not feel a lot of love and hope and joy. And so I just pray, Lord, that you might reveal yourself to them. You might encourage them. Ask that you would help us all to rest in your love. Help us to rest in your love, free from proving our worth, and instead free to flourish in your forgiveness. Ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to rest in the hope, to be able to rest in the hope of better things to come, to rest in the hope of better connections with you and also with those around us, to rest in the hope of better relationships and a better world. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to surrender to joy. The joy that comes from finding rest in you. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would help us to find space this Christmas for the snow to settle in our hearts, that we might see you and the love, hope, and joy that you bring more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.